It occasionally happens around our house that I'll be going about doing normal, you know, dad stuff. Why is everyone looking at dad stuff? Like playing chess on my phone. It's a bad habit. Someday I'll quit. By the way, if anybody ever wants to play chess against me, totally up for that. And all of a sudden, one of my kids will come up to me. I won't mention which one. And they'll be like, "Dad, are there any jobs I can do?" And I'm thinking, like, I'm saying, "Oh, cool." I'm thinking, like, man, what a great dad I am. Like, my kids, I've trained them so well that they just want to get work done. They love me so much. They're just such great, awesome kids that they just want to get work done. So I'm like, okay, yeah, I mean, you can sweep the floor, you can load the dishwasher, you can vacuum out, you can do some dusting. And they go about and they do it. And they're doing this work, and it's so great. And I'm just like, man, this is awesome. Like, how great is this? My kids are keeners. They're just doing this because they love me and they're good kids. Then they come back and they're like, "Hey, Dad, can I go on the computer to play Minecraft?" And all of a sudden, I'm a little bit let down. Because here I was thinking that they were doing all of this stuff because they loved me, and now I realize that they're doing it just so they can play a game that is a bunch of boxes on a screen. I don't even understand it. It doesn't look any better than the games I played when I was a kid. All right, let's pray and let's get into our text. Lord God, I pray that you would teach us today. You would teach us something of your heart, that you would show us what our relationship with you is supposed to be based on and how it's supposed to live out day by day. Guide us and teach us today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you're in Bibles, Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 38. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. So this is Martha, and it's probably the same Mary and Martha that we meet in John's gospel, although it's not entirely spelled out. If this is the case, they've traveled quite some distance and they're in Bethany. Martha welcomes Jesus in. And this is, so she's hosting Jesus. He's probably staying the night there in this house. It's going to be a larger house. Maybe she's also feeding the 12 disciples. I kind of think of this moment, like, has anyone ever read The Hobbit or seen the movie when Bilbo is welcoming in the 12 dwarves and they're just like making a disaster? This is how I imagine this scene to be. It's Bilbo Baggins up, there's Martha, and it's all of these people coming in, and she's got to get all this, and she's got to feed them and get everything ready. And, you know, you're never quite prepared enough for these kinds of things, even if you're prepared. And so here they are hosting these people. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. Now, that's a weird sentence in English, but that's exactly what it says in Greek. She was distracted by serving, by doing all of the tasks necessary for having these people at her house. It's not too hard to imagine the dynamics of this scene. If you've ever had a sister, if you ever had any siblings, especially, like, I am the second oldest of the siblings in my house. I have an older sister, and I have six younger brothers. And so I'm used to the idea, anybody the youngest sibling here? Okay, we don't want to hear from you today. The older siblings, we all know, like, we're the responsible ones. We're the ones who get work done. We're the ones who make sure things happen. While these younger siblings, maybe they've been spoiled by their parents. They never quite had the pressure of managing things. And they're a little bit infantile. And so we kind of look down on them because we're... Or the older ones, by the way, don't get too up on yourself. This is all setting up for a fall. Now, for those of us who have read the story a lot, like this is a popular story in Sunday school curriculums. So we kind of know the story of Mary and Martha. And Martha is the one, she's distracted by much story. Mary is going to be the good one. She's the one, she's listening to Jesus. And that's where we're going. Don't get me wrong here. But I want to take a moment to appreciate Martha a little bit. And I got to stick up for Martha because Martha, you can portray this. Martha's the bad guy. Mary's the good guy, except they're girls. And there is something we should note to begin because serving or showing hospitality, which is what you could say, like Martha welcomed in. Martha showed hospitality to Jesus. She hosted Jesus. Showing hospitality was a sacred duty among ancient people. We know the Bible verse, Hebrews 13:2, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. And this is hearkening back to the story of Abraham, which we're talking about in kids' time. Abraham, when he welcomed the three men into his house, and they're doing all this work to welcome them in, which is contrasted with Sodom and Gomorrah, whom the angels went there, and in fact they were attempted to be sexually assaulted, which is about the worst thing you can do to a visitor. And so hospitality is a command by God. And so when Martha is doing all of this work, she is, in one very real sense, fulfilling God's command to show hospitality to a person coming into her home. And in that way, you know, we should take a lesson that, you know, we should be showing hospitality. Hard work in and of itself is a great thing. See, Martha, she's the one, she's working hard there. Paul in 1 Corinthians 15:10 says, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is within me. And reading Paul's life and reading Jesus' life and the apostles' lives, these were not just monks who sat around in prayer. I'm appreciating God. But they're people who went out and they did things. You know, one thing I've always wanted to be in my life, and I noticed this when I was young, is there's a certain few people in every church, in every organization, they are the people who put away the chairs. So, you know, you have a big meal and stuff, and in the fellowship hall, and there's always those, like, you know, there's people, and at the beginning, you know, there are lots of people, they're working, but then, you know, people start to leave, and pretty soon there's only, like, two people left. There are people putting away the chairs, sweeping up the floor, and I've always, like made it a goal to be one of those people. That I'm going to be the person who's there, who's serving. And without those people, you know, we don't have a church. You know, I appreciate it. Like right now, so Randy's sitting back doing sound. Amanda's on the computer. Like, without those people, you guys can't hear me because my voice would be too quiet for you guys to hear me without this microphone. Okay, maybe not. But all of you guys listening online, like, you guys aren't, like, with us probably if we don't have Amanda back there and Randy turning on the sound. Like, we need all of these good volunteers to be able to do things. We need people who are distracted with much serving. And so when we look at serving here, we don't want to see Martha's doing a bad thing, Mary's doing a good thing. That's not the comparison here. The comparison here is that Martha's doing a good thing, Mary is doing the best thing. And the fact that it's comparing a good thing to a best thing is heightening what is the best thing. And that, as we're going to see, is Jesus himself. So, Martha is putting away all the chairs, you know, she's doing all the work, slaving over the hot stove, making sure all of the food is ready, doing all the things necessary to show good hospitality, and as she's working so hard, here is her sister not helping. Now, it can get annoying when somebody isn't helping you when you're really working hard. And now, she's going to go to Jesus. And as she goes to Jesus, I can't help but imagine this is how a lot of my prayers to God sound. Because this is, you know, you're addressing Jesus, this is a kind of prayer. It's asking, literally, God for something. So, and Martha went up to Jesus and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me alone, to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. So, in many modern conceptions of prayer, people will tell you, you know, it's okay to pray complaints to God, which is totally true. And I recommend it. Read the Psalms. Like, it's all full of complaints to God. But one thing that is not okay to do when we pray is to speak lies to God. Okay? Don't tell lies to God. It's as foolish as swearing at the devil. Because, one, God can see right through you. And B, you're insulting God. And that's really, like, Martha here. She's insulting Jesus. She says, do you not care? Now, this is phrased as a question, but as I've learned, like, it's so interesting. So I'm, you know, sitting down doing something important, like reading a book or looking at my phone, and my wife will look at me and she'll ask me, this is a question. Dear, can you help me with dinner? And I say, oh, that's a question. And I say, no. I always say yes now. And then I discover really quickly that that was not a question. And in the same way, when Martha asks, Jesus, do you not care? Like, this isn't really a question. This is saying, Jesus, you don't care about my situation. You don't care that I'm doing all of the work here. I'm slaving away for you, by the way, while my sister is not doing diddly. Now, Martha probably wouldn't say something like this had she not been, you know, overworked, frazzled. I think of certain people who, you know, end up staying up all night when somebody's coming over because they're, you know, nervous and want to make sure everything's just right. And here they are, she's, you know, maybe overtired, and she says something a little improper. And boy, Jesus is going to have a lot of grace for Martha, so we're going to see that in a bit. There are many times in your life and in my life where we're going to have the temptation to think and to pray, God, why don't you care? Don't you notice what's going on? Don't tell this to yourself. Don't pray to God, because it's a lie of the devil. Jesus cares for you, and there's a cross and the gospel to prove it. Jesus came to earth to die for your sins because he loved you, because he cares for you day by day, and that will never change no matter what your circumstances might be telling you. Now, Martha's words here are interesting. We should take note of this because it says, my sister has left me to serve alone. And this note about serving should key us into something. Because this note reveals a little bit about Martha's heart towards what she thinks is most important in her relationship with the Lord, God. Martha thinks that her relationship to Jesus is one of serving. That she has to do enough to please him. And that is how she is going to be in right relationship with Jesus, is by serving properly. And she's a little worried about Mary's soul. But she's not serving very well. She's just listening. This question that she asked reveals her heart. The reason why she says, do you not care, is that there's a little bit of entitlement here. It's like, I'm the one who deserves things, not my little sister, because I'm the one who serves. I'm the one who does. I'm the one who works. And yet this is not the relationship between Jesus and his people. It's not primarily the relationship of serving, but it's one of grace. And we're going to see that right away in Jesus' response to Mary, to Martha. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. Anxious and troubled. And I know from the response I get every time I talk about anxiety or fear, that there's always a response there from people, because this is life. We have a lot of anxieties about different things, or at least most people do. This is like the one thing that I don't understand very much, because for some reason I didn't get the feeling anxious gene, but most people do. I know this because I'm married to people and I talk to people. But this is important because Jesus here sees Martha's problem and he has compassion. When he says, Martha, Martha, this can only almost come across as exasperating, but it's not supposed to come across like that. It's supposed to be tenderness, like a parent to a child, like Martha, Martha. But this is a term of endearment. Oh, my dear Martha. Oh, my dear Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. And Martha is anxious and troubled because she is worried about how she's going to serve. She's worried about how she is going to please Jesus, how she's going to be in the right place before Jesus. And this gets back to 2 weeks ago, the Good Samaritan. So the Good Samaritan is awesome. Like, it shows us how to live. So we are to, like God, have compassion on people who maybe are different than us, crossing lines, being inconvenient. We are to have love for our neighbor that is costly. That is how we're supposed to live. And immediately after this story of the Good Samaritan, which is showing how we're supposed to live, which is true, Luke throws us a loop. Because on the one hand, we have the story of the guy who's doing everything, and he's the guy who's right with God. And now we have the next story of Mary, who's doing nothing, who is right with God. Now, there's a reason for this. Because we need to see how our relationship with God works. And this story shows this so well. Because you might come away from the sermon, and I know so many people did, is that I did. You know, I'm listening to the Good Samaritan, and I'm immediately thinking like, wow, I don't measure up to that. Like, how do I ever love my neighbor enough? Like, where is the line where it says, like, okay, now you've loved your neighbor enough, you can inherit eternal life, you're good with God. And that sermon can provoke a lot of anxiety. And if you think your relationship with God is based on serving, that sermon will give you a lot of anxiety. But this is why you need to see the story of Mary and Martha. Because in the story of Mary and Martha, we get to see that we are right with God, not by what we do, but by what Jesus has done. See. Verse 41, but the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. Jesus is telling her, she does not have to work to please him. Now, stuff needs to get done. Like, there's place for that. But Martha, you do not need to be anxious here. Like, I am prepared. Jesus is like, I'm prepared to go hungry and just keep teaching to show you that there is only one thing necessary. It's only one thing necessary. And then I ask you, like, what is the one thing? Now, the most immediate context is Mary listening to Jesus. Like, this is the one necessary thing, is listening. But I think there's a little more to that, because the next thing that Jesus goes to is Mary has chosen the good portion. Now, the good portion, this term portion, and you might be thinking like portion, like Weight Watchers, and you're a little bit on the right track, because it is like talking about meal, like the good meal, the good part. But this is a term used in the Psalms again and again to express the psalmist relationship with God, like Psalm 73, 26. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. And so when Jesus says, Mary has chosen the good portion is Jesus himself. She has chosen not to be busy over this meal that will be eaten and go away, but she is satisfied with Jesus and Jesus alone as her bread, her portion, her food, just like in the Old Testament, the psalmist, this is the portion. There's one thing necessary, and that is Jesus Christ, the Word of God made flesh and dwelling among us. His presence renders everything else, even necessary things like getting dinner ready, secondary, because he is the greatest good. He is the good portion. All right, now we have everything together. We can understand this sermon. The short and important story stands directly after the Good Samaritan to show us what our relationship with God must be. And that is a relationship that is not one of serving, doing good things, but a relationship of God that is one of receiving the good portion. God alone, he is the good portion. Mary didn't need anything but to receive Jesus and to have him as as her one and only treasure. Your worth in Christ is not measured in what you do, but in what Christ has done for you. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom to many. Many of us are burdened with toil and anxiety day by day, trying to do enough to please God. We think, boy, there's something lacking, and I need to make it up. I need to do this. I need to do that. Perhaps you've passed the man in need. You were like the priest from the last story. You were too busy doing religious service to help a brother in need. If you're burdened with anxiety today, Jesus wants you to do this one thing, and that is to follow the example of the wordless woman, Mary. She doesn't say a word, and yet she's the example of our story. Sit down and receive from Jesus. Just sit down and know that he is all that you need. He wants to say, I am all that you need. I will take care of you every day. And even if you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you need not fear evil, for I am with you. All you need to do is look to Christ. I started with the example of my kids. And, you know, they're doing all this work because, you know, they want to get something. And this can often feel like our relationship with God. Like, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And this is how I'm going to please God. But instead, you have to think of this as a little bit like breakfast this morning. Now, what did you girls do this morning to receive breakfast? Nothing. Nothing. You know why I made breakfast? Because I'm your father and I'm going to care for your needs. Everybody needs waffles. There's going to be waffles in heaven. In the same way, our relationship with God is like this. He is our father and he cares for us. We don't need to do, we need to receive. And yes, you know, Jesus cares about Martha too, and the Good Samaritan is all true. But we need to know first we are God's child, and when we serve, we do so not to get something, not to play Minecraft. We serve because we have received something, the good portion, Jesus Christ himself. Let's pray. Lord God, I pray that each of us would not be burdened with serving, but to know that first you have served us in the gospel. You have given us the greatest treasure, yourself, that we could receive you, receive from you, and love you for all you are. For love of you precedes love of neighbor, and love of you leads to love of neighbor. And so let's lay down our anxieties and know for certain that all we need to be is Mary, to look to you and receive the gospel of grace. In Jesus' name, amen.